decent morning. I mean, good morning. Ooh, you convinced me less a second time than the first time around. Oh my goodness. All right. I have chocolate. Let's see if that can cheer you up. Good morning. All right. Oh, now some people are responding. All right. Last time I was here, right after church, I received a text message of somebody who wasn't able to be here and who said, "So, you gave out German chocolate at church today, and I didn't get any." And that person is here today and is Robin McDermott. Where is Robin McDermott? All right. I want you to read what it says here, Robin. What does it say there? Made in Germany. Now, the only reason why that's a big deal, it's because it wasn't made in Italy and it wasn't made in Argentina. So you settle for made in Germany or Austria. Now, if I did find chocolate made in Argentina or Italy, I wouldn't bring it and share it with you anyways. I would eat it myself. So let's settle for German chocolate. It's a good thing. And I had another one because very quickly I realized how Robin knew that I had given out German chocolate. How do you know that? How do you think she found out? Somebody, and I knew exactly who. It was Stephanie Walters. And I thought it was so cool that right after church they would connect and they would tell on me that I want one for Stephanie here. But Stephanie's not here, so now joke is on her. So, Stephanie asking, who wants some German chocolate? Let's see. First hand to go up. All right, Yvette. All right, and you guys can share if you want to. There we go. But that's one of the things we do. And let Stephanie know that she missed out on German chocolate today. And we wish her well. How many of you had a good week? Can I see your hands? All right, good week, a decent week, all right, a hard week. Okay, all right, we had a pretty good week. This has been an interesting week. It started off with some pretty horrid thunderstorms, and then we had some beautiful weather, and that's beautiful if Poland is your thing. Poland is not really my thing, so the sun was beautiful, but everything else wasn't so beautiful, and then it ended like this. But it is good to be here. How many people like springtime? I like springtime. All right. How many people like coming to church in springtime? All right. All sorts of weird things happen when you come to church in springtime. Like somebody told me you finally shaved. I was like, well, I only trimmed it down a little bit, but I don't know what that means. You know who you are, by the way, who said that. And I can tell Cindy to finally she can come back, that she won't be called the guest speaker's wife anymore, because I think Jonathan didn't make the joke today, did he? Charles didn't make the joke. Did Charles make the joke today? No? Okay, then I'll tell Cindy to come back. She can come back, and she won't be called the guest speaker wife anymore. But it is good to be here. Turn to the person next to you and tell them, what could we tell them? They look beautiful. Okay, I was going to try to be more original, but since that's what the one we like, turn to the person next to you and tell them you look beautiful this morning. All right? Alessandra, you look beautiful this morning. All right. All right. Good. It is so good to see you guys. I missed you last week. It is good. Oh, my goodness. Baby Chance is in yet somebody else's arms. Oh my God, that baby has been in more arms today than than I think we have people at church. That's amazing. It is so good to see you all. So we have a few things to talk about today. We're going to talk about the weather. We're going to talk about tears. We're going to talk about storms. We might even talk about a cold. And something that happened in a week very much like the one that we're about to start 2,000 years ago has to do with us today. But before we do that, I just want to invite you to pray. Our Heavenly Father, it is good that we are here. We worshiped. You know how much we needed that, to sing, to tell you that we trust you, to tell you that you're the cornerstone of everything that we do, to just pour out our hearts to you. Some of us had a great week. Some of us are muddling through. Some of us are in the middle of recovery. But we are here, and that's a good thing. So I ask that over the next few minutes, you will allow us to empty ourselves of all those things that are just causing clutter and noise in our hearts and in our minds, and that we will hear you, and that we will see you, we will feel you, and that we will leave this place with a kind of peace that drives us to live lives that are full of meaning and full of joy. So all this we pray in Jesus' name, amen. So one of my favorite things about spring is going out on walks. I love walking in the spring. I live on a street that is called Wigwood Drive, and just last week I was walking, and I saw three of my neighbors taking pictures of their lawns. That's how obsessed they are, which makes me actually feel quite self-conscious because my lawn is nothing to take pictures of. I'm actually quite embarrassed of it. Hopefully I'll have time to make it a little prettier in the future. But I live on the street where people like to care for their gardens, a lot of their lawns. They have mulch beds and flower beds with beautiful flowers. And right at this time of year, they start to bloom, and it looks absolutely beautiful. So last year, right around the same time, I went out, and I shared this story with you all. You might remember this. I went out for a walk with my kids and my wife around our neighborhood. It's about a mile and a half long circle that we go on, a circuit. It's just a street that goes all the way around. And it's called a drive, Wigwood Drive. And we were at the furthest point in that circle. We had gone out, the sun was shining, the birds were singing, the flowers were blooming, the pollen was not as horrendous as it was this week. Everything was perfect. And as we reached the furthest edge of our walk, about a mile from home at this point, we hear far away thunder. We walk about two more blocks, and that far away thunder, all of a sudden, it's not so far away. And we begin to feel this drop start beginning to fall. Cindy had just done her hair, and Cindy starts panicking and getting very agitated. And at the same time, we're not very outgoing, and we're kind of self-conscious. So Cindy didn't want to go knock on a stranger's door or sit under their porch. And at the same time, we were about a mile from home, and all of a sudden, those little drops begin to evolved into very big drops. And those drops that were falling like once every 2 seconds started falling 100 a second. And all of a sudden, it was pouring down on us. And all of a sudden, those noises, those thunderous sounds that we heard that were very far away were just over our heads. And in an instant, lightning falls like, I don't know, about a block from where we went. That deafening sound that, you know, like makes your ears ring. And we were there in the middle of the storm, and as that lightning hit, my little daughter Eliana just starts bursting out in tears, panicking, yelling, crying out loud, and frantic. And I pick her up, and she's shaking in my arms because she's terrified about the storm. Cindy's hair, she wasn't happy. Let's just leave it at that. And Christian not really knowing how to react. And that's how spring is sometimes, right? A sunny, beautiful day, you go out, within seconds can turn into a ferocious thunderstorm. And that's much of how being human is, isn't it? One day things seem to be perfect, right? Things at work are good, relationship is good, and all it takes is a drift of the wind. And all of a sudden, we find ourselves in a storm. Does anybody here know what I'm talking about? Yeah? No? Everything is perfect until you hear that thunder. And then it's bad news. Last night, I was trying to rush home, get home relatively early because I wanted to do worship with my kids. I don't get to do that too often. But last night, there was an off chance that I could. And I'm very excited because it seems like I'm going to make it. And I'm very happy because that makes me happy. And I get this phone call from a good friend of mine. She was on her way to Maryland to celebrate a birthday. And on that way to Maryland, she got a phone call that her brother had just died. Just like that. Because sometimes in our lives it rains, doesn't it? Even when the sun is shining, sometimes it just starts raining. And sometimes it pours. And that's how storms work, doesn't it? And some storms are like that. Some storms are so bad that they have names, right? like Storm Charles. No, I'm just kidding, Charles. Nothing on you. Like Florence. And sometimes those storms have other names. Addictions, cancer, sickness. Sometimes those storms do have a proper name. Boyfriend, girlfriend, husband, wife, boss, co-worker, employee. And sometimes those storms can leave us like little Eliana, just crying and panicking and left with nowhere to go and to hide. Now, some storms are so bad that they don't only have names, because sometimes with the storms, there are also systems that conspire against the storms to make things worse. If you ever looked at the Weather Channel, you heard about this high-pressure systems and low-pressure systems, right? In the year 2000, when was Harvey? 2000, anybody remember? Harvey, Houston, 2016, I think it was, maybe? Year 2016, this massive hurricane, Hurricane Harvey, goes into Houston. No, it was way longer than that, actually. It might have been as far as 2008. This massive hurricane is going off the Gulf of Mexico, and right in the center of the United States, a high-pressure system sets in. And now the storm has nowhere to go, so it is parked over Houston, Texas, and pours inches upon inches of rain. And sometimes that's how storms work, right? And sometimes they just don't want to go away. An even more infamous storm, there was a movie made about it in 1991, The Perfect Storm. There was a nor'easter coming in through the northeast of the United States, a small hurricane, actually, quite small, coming up the subtropical latitudes of the Pacific Ocean, and all of a sudden, a high-pressure system coming in from Canada and a low-pressure system coming in from the Caribbean human pushes this two storms together, and now the nor'easter, and now this hurricane, I think it was called Maria, come and swallow each other up, creating what they called the perfect storm. A storm so massive, so powerful, so out of the ordinary that a movie was made about it. And sometimes we experience perfect storms, don't we? And we panic, and our peace and our joy vanishes. And this is kind of what Jesus experienced with us that week in spring. We call it Holy Week. It starts right around this time of year, even though some people argue about it. And what happened back then, in some ways, is so similar to what happens to us today. So I want to invite you to open your Bibles to the Gospel according to Luke. Luke chapter 19. This is Luke's account of the Jesus story, and we're going to be focusing on this very specific day as Jesus enters into Holy Week. Now, I picked Luke because Luke actually includes in his story some details that the other Gospel writers kind of like leave out. See, John is focusing on the depth of the message, and he creates all these allegories about who Jesus is, and he's really like a deep thinker and always saying things in three different levels. Mark is like the no-nonsense Gospel writing. Matthew's just trying to prove that Jesus is king and that he's Messiah and that he sees things in this part of the story. His focus is on Jesus as seer. But Luke is the one who focuses on all these little details. And he's written to a people that were not necessarily a people. They were not part of this inner tribe. And yet Luke highlights all these things about what it is to be human. So Luke chapter 19, verse 23. And though Cindy's not here, she let me borrow her Bible. This is Cindy's Bible, and today I'm going to be using Cindy's Bible. She purchased a large print, and I'm finding it useful, which makes me feel like I'm no longer in my 20s, and a lot closer to my 50s, it would seem. But yes, thank goodness for large print, beautiful leather-bound Bibles. Luke chapter 19, verse 28, and I will also put it on the screen. And it says, after Jesus had said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. This is the beginning of that week before the crucifixion, Holy Week. Passover week was just about to start. And as he approached Bethphage and Bethany, and if you pronounce those better, good for you, at the hill called the Mount of Olives, he sent two disciples saying to them, go to the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. You untie it and bring it here. If anybody asks you why you're untying it, say, the Lord needs it. So Jesus is making his way up a road that is going through all these little towns of Bethany and the other one, which I cannot pronounce. And he's reaching now the point of Jericho. And Luke is trying to point out that there is this climax that is coming to the Jesus story. There is this energy that is being felt. He is going up this road that starts in Jericho, about 858 feet below sea level. Everything is pointing up. And he's going into Jerusalem, the highest point in that plateau, about 2,490 men. And there's all these clues that the story is about to climax. It's springtime. Everything is blooming. And all of a sudden, a party breaks out because this road had been traveled before, and before it had caused euphoria. See, about 200 years later, earlier, in the year 160 before Christ, there was this man called Judas. Get his nickname, Judas the Hammer Maccabean. I wish I would have been called the Hammer when I was in school. I was called things that had to refer to my height, but they weren't the Hammer necessarily. The shorty maybe, or things like that. But Judas the Hammer Maccabean had marched up this very same road on a Sunday, and people had crowded that road, and they had laid palms on the road as Judas of Maccabean had traveled this road because he had liberated, he had defeated the Roman armies. And they thought that maybe Judas would be the one that would set Israel free. But Judas had failed. But things now were different, because Judas hadn't raised Lazarus from the dead. Judas hadn't fed thousands with just some bread and fish. Maybe this time it would be different. And people are in uproar because they thought maybe this Jesus, maybe he would be the one. And we hear all the stories coming up, and now Luke includes a quote from the prophet that says, "Blessed is the king who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest." John even includes another saying, "Do not fear, O daughter of Israel, your king is coming on a colt." And all of a sudden, there was hysteria, and there was joy, and there was a party bursting out on the side of the road. And some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." And Jesus said, "I tell you, if they keep quiet, even the stones will cry out." Pharisees, you don't get it. There's so much excitement in the air that even if I tell them to be quiet, the stones would cry out. There is such energy in the air. There is such passion. There is all these things happening. There is so much good going on that even if the crowds would be quiet, stones would start crying out and singing and shouting, because that's how good it was. And all the hopes and ambitions of the disciples and the crowd and all these dreams of liberation and of freedom and of good news were coming to a climax on the road to Jerusalem. And Jesus says, if they were to keep quiet, even the stones would rejoice. Do you sense the atmosphere of laughter, of joy that was taking over that moment? And then in the middle of that, the story says that as Jesus approached Jerusalem and he saw the city, he began to cry. That's quite a break in the story, isn't it? There was laughter. There was singing. There was celebration. There were palm lining the road. There was the equivalent, I guess, to how you call the little particles you throw up in the air. Confetti. There was celebration, a triumphal entry for crying out loud. And in the middle of all that joy and laughter and music, Jesus looks at the city. And his heart breaks Why did Jesus cry? Why did Jesus cry? He looked ahead and he saw the nails piercing his wrist and he says, oh boy, that's going to hurt a lot. And he started crying, right? He saw the Roman centurion lashing out his back, flesh being torn out. He said, oof, that's going to hurt. And he cried, right? We cry when things hurt, don't we, Alessandra?
Yeah, I know.
I try not to let anyone see me when that happens, but yeah, I might cry too sometimes, Alessandra. Yes. Now, my little girl, Eliana, she's tough. She doesn't cry for anything. Christian is working on it. I don't know why God does those things. Why did Jesus cry? See, as Jesus looked ahead at Jerusalem, he saw a perfect storm beginning to rage. He looked at Jerusalem, and there he saw the Roman soldiers that were beginning to add in numbers and roam the city. And as he looked at Jerusalem, he saw the strength of empire and of control in Rome. And then Jesus looks at Jerusalem, and there he sees the Pharisees and the Sadducees, this lower class and these people that were trying to white knuckle hold on to whatever little power they had, and they were trying to hold on to their traditions and their identities and yet selling themselves out to empire because that's the only way they could hold on to whatever little power they had. And he saw those forces, the high pressure forces and the low pressure forces pressuring down on the city, and he sees this perfect storm beginning to churn and turn. And then he looks at his disciples and he looks at all the people lining the roads, and he begins to look at their ambitions, their cry for liberation. He begins to look at their desire to rebel against these oppressing powers, and he sees these ambitions, and he sees this system, and he sees all these things, and he sees that a perfect storm is about to unleash. And he looks into that city, and he sees the beggars, and he sees the widows. He sees the orphans. He sees all this competing ambitions and desires and hopes and dreams. And he knows that it's all coming to a clash. And Jesus cries. And he says, if you, even you, had only known this day, what would bring you peace? But now it is hidden. Because that's what storms do, don't they? You agree, Alessandra? My goodness, you're my number one listener today, Alessandra. I should just be preaching to you. So, Alessandra, what do you think about this? Yes. Oh, my goodness, I love this little girl. Because that's what storms do. They hide things from our eyes, don't they? Those clouds come, and they cover, and we don't see the sun shining. And those storms come and they start raging, and they hide what is so plainly visible sometimes. We're unemployed and we lose that job, and it just seems like we cannot see what's next. Our brother dies, and we're in anguish because the storms come and they just take our peace and they take our joy. And this character and these addictions are raging within us. They come and we cannot see how life could be any other way because we haven't known any other way because we have never known what it is to not have to wrestle with these things. Those relationships fall apart. And we cannot see how we would love again in Jesus Christ. And he says, even if you had only known this day, what would bring you peace? But the storms are hiding all these things from your eyes. That sickness, that pain, that lack of forgiveness, that inability to forgive, all the storms that rage within us, around us, just hide the peace that we could have from our eyes. And Jesus looks at that. And he cries, and he says, if you would know today what could bring you peace. Because sometimes those storms that are raging in our lives storms of our own making, storms that others have brought upon us, storms that this different system surrounding us bring to our lives, and maybe we didn't want them, we didn't look for them, we didn't deserve them, but they just happened. The storms just hide it from our eyes. And he saw this empire, he saw these Pharisees, he saw his disciples and their ambitions, and he saw that there could be no peace. And he just says, if only you would know today. But this happened 2,000 years ago, right? Things are so different today. Right, Alessandra? We have changed. Because there are no storms going on in the Middle East right now. There are no Western forces and Eastern little villages and raging. Come on, it's 2,000 years. We got over that. And we don't experience storms in our lives, do we? Right? Come on. We've learned. We know better. And yet, ironically enough, some of those very same storms that raged 2,000 years ago still rage today. And they steal our peace, and they steal our joy. And Jesus looks and he cries out, if only you would know today what could bring you peace, but it is hidden. I only slept about 2 hours last night. You can tell, right? I'm not jumping and walking around. I'm sitting, relaxing in a stool. And yet in the story, there is a hero. And I am about to make terrible exegesis. Exegesis is when you try to tell from the story what the author tried to tell you. In this part, I can almost guarantee that it's not what Luke meant. And yet it is also absolutely true. I was hearing a sermon from one of my colleagues, a friend of mine, and because it's such bad exegesis, I won't share who it is, but it is not mine, so I stole it from him. It's not David Dildy either, because last week he accused me of stealing his ideas as well. So I only steal good ideas from David Dildy, not the bad ones. but this is another pastor, and he highlights the hero in the story. Because as the storms are raging, there was one character whom had peace. Do you know who it was? Was it the crowds? No, Alessandra. My goodness, that girl is engaged. I should just preach to her. Was it the Roman centurions? Was it the Pharisees? Because that warm spring day, there was a donkey, a colt, who peacefully rode into Jerusalem. Because Jesus had said, go and untie his ropes, because I need him. That's terrible exegesis, by the way. I think Luke just meant that Jesus needed a donkey and it would fulfill the prophecies. And yet it's also so beautifully true that Jesus has the power to untie the ropes, set us free, and guide us to peacefully walk even into the eye of the storm. And while there was a storm raging, Jesus rode on that donkey in perfect peace. In perfect peace. Because Jesus, as a hurricane of love, looked at Jerusalem, and he wasn't put off by the storm that was raging there. He didn't think of the nails that would pierce his feet and his wrists. He didn't think of the whip that would shred his back. He didn't think about the crown of thorns. He looked at that city, and he thought of that Roman soldier. He thought of that Pharisee. He thought of that orphan and that widow and that beggar and that divorced woman. And he thought of all these people, those who had much and those who didn't have much. He looked at that city and he thought of you and me. And Jesus knew that if he would march into the storm and he would give his life to you, maybe one day you could come out of the storm in perfect peace. Jesus went into the storm so that maybe one day we could walk out of the storm in perfect peace. And if we allow him to untie the ropes of whatever it is that is binding our eyes and cannot let us see, he can take our hands and he can even guide us through the storm. And we can experience peace and joy and meaning. I'm getting ready to finish if the worship team wants to come up front. But that spring morning last year, as I went out walking with my children and the storm broke loose, Eliana was crying, and with her little 2-year-old arms, she was just clinging on to dear life. I could feel her little arms around my neck, and I could feel her little fingers, like little needles actually trying to claw into my back. And I have a pretty thick skin. That's what happens when you're a pastor, by the way. And she was crying and sobbing uncontrollably. And suddenly her little brother starts speaking. He begins to tell her Cindy was carrying Christian and she came really close to me. So they had their heads against each other. She was on my right side of the shoulder and Christian was on Cindy's left side of the shoulder, and they were kind of like facing each other. And Christian began to repeat, "It's okay, Eliana. Daddy knows the way home. We're almost there. It's okay, Eliana. Daddy knows the way. We are almost home." And Christian kept repeating louder and louder, "It's okay, Eliana. You don't have to cry. Daddy knows the way home. He's got you. We are almost home." And he kept telling her, "Daddy's got you. You're in his army. It's okay. He knows the way. We are almost a block away from home. It's okay, Eliana. Daddy's got you. He knows the way. We are almost home." And as Christian kept repeating that over and over again, Eliana's tears began to fade. And now, all of a sudden, I don't know why, but it just happens that way, and you have experienced it. She just began to laugh. She just began to laugh. In the middle of the storm, she just began to laugh. And when we were about a walk, block from home, the storm stopped, the wind blew, and right from our front porch, we see this bright and beautiful rainbow. Because storms, even as bad as they could be, they only last for so long. And then the sun shines again. And then we can have peace. And right in front of our house, that storm had left a giant puddle. You know the rest of the story. Because they were already soaked and wet. What could mom say after that? Eliana and Christian went and spent hours jumping on that puddle, laughing and singing and having fun. Because that's the thing about spring. Sometimes it is through the storm. And sometimes it's even because of the storm that new life bursts forth, new peace, new laughter, new joy. And that spring, 2,000 years ago, Jesus marched into the storm because he knew that there was a better way to live. He knew that there was a better home. And just like the spring effect, these storms will And Jesus went into the eye of the storm. He gave his life to you and to me. He died on a cross to show us that there's a new way to live. There's a spring that is coming, and it will bring peace and joy and new life. And it will be through the storm, not through the ambitions and empire, but it will be through trust and service and love. We can have peace in the storm. And if we allow him to untie the ropes that are holding us back, if we allow him to unveil our eyes and help us to see the peace that could be ours, we will live with that joy, that peace, even here today. Are there storms in your life? Storms of your own making? Storms that somebody else made? Storms that have a name? Storms that don't have names? Storms that just came in this week? Storms that have been raging for weeks and years and months and however long? A storm that you cannot seem to break free? Jesus is telling you today, yes, even today, you can have peace. You can have peace, even in the eye of the storm. Jesus went into the storm so that you could be at peace. He went into the storm so that which you couldn't see, now you can see through him. And if you let him untie the ropes of whatever is holding you down, whatever is tormenting your soul, he will give you peace. Is there someone who needs peace today? The storms are raging around you, within you. And you say, Lord, I want to live with peace. I want you to stand as we sing our closing song, and then I'm going to pray for you, because Jesus came to the storm so we could walk out of the storm in perfect peace.
In your presence, at your throne.
Sometimes it feels like doing a prayer here, or you doing a prayer at home, or you praying in your heart. It's all the same, and yes, God hears those prayers just the same. But sometimes there's also power in what happens in here. When we come together, when we pray, when we worship, when we sing, when we invite the Holy Spirit to touch our hearts and move us. So today I want to finish with an invitation. Maybe you're in the midst of a storm right now, and you need to be reminded that you're not alone, that peace is yours, and say, Jesus, I'm riding into the storm, I'm in the thick of the storm, and I don't know how much longer I can take. Jesus, I cannot go through the storm alone. I want to pray for you. I want to pray with you, and thank Jesus for riding the storm with us. Do you need that prayer today? Come up front. Maybe I'll pray here alone, but maybe there's a storm in your life that is raging. I don't know what's the storm's name. I don't know if it's something that you did or somebody else that did it to you. But I just want you to know that you're not alone in this. Jesus came so you wouldn't have to ride out the storm by yourself. He came so you would know that he can ride the storm with you and give you. Does anyone need that peace today? Just come up front. I just want to pray with you. That's all. It's just a prayer to close the service. And thank Jesus for riding the storm with us. Anyone? Okay. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, some 2,000 years ago, you saw a raging city. There were all these forces at work, and there was no peace. And yet you were not afraid. You were not put off. You even knew that right then and there nobody would understand. And yet you marched into the storm. And you swallowed the storm on the cross. So that one day we could see you and find peace. Lord, there are storms raging even today. Storms in our hearts. They have names. They may look very different from each and every one of us, but they all kind of do the same things. They cover our eyes. They remove our joy. They take away our peace. So whatever those storms are in our lives today, where there be grief and loss, where there be something at work or something at home, whether it be a relationship or something within us that is not quite right and it just stirs storm after storm after storm. Lord, loosen those ropes. Ride the storm with us. Give us that peace that our hearts need. Help us to surrender what we need to surrender. Help us to trust where we need to trust. And with you, take us to that moment, to that place where we will see that sunshine, when we will see that rainbow, when we find joy and peace at last. Because you got us. You know the way. And we are almost home. So we thank you for Jesus, for what he did 2,000 years ago, and for what he continues to do in our life, even today. In his name.